Time to join our new technology guru, Nigel Horrocks. Hi, Nigel, how are you?
Hello, Lynn, how are you today?
I'm fine. Your phone's off, is it?
It is indeed.
Well,
we had
a quick look at earlier in the week from a different perspective of mobile phone etiquette or lack thereof, and phones going off in funerals and weddings. And my gosh, we got some interesting reaction from our listeners. It really hit a nerve.
Well, it's certainly following on from that very interesting discussion, and it is very disturbing, but it's actually becoming more widespread. There's an interesting survey this week from the US Pew Institute. They're quite a respected people that do research. They do show that, you know, most people like mobile phones and they feel safer and more connected. But many people, and it's really, this is the interesting part, is that it's actually becoming quite widespread, the amount of number of people who are just getting fed up with not just the rudeness, the very rude etiquette that you mentioned about the weddings and funerals earlier in the week, but just the fact that the phones are really interrupting our lives. 86% said they consider it rude when when people interrupt a conversation or meeting to check their cell phones. But they're also getting annoyed and frustrated by incoming calls and text messaging. 2 out of 5 cell phone users say they just get really irritated when they're suddenly interrupted by either a call or a text message. I mean, we are now available supposedly 24 hours a day, aren't we?
Well, we are indeed. Has there been any research into this?
Johns Hopkins University released a list, and they called it the Terrible 10 Rude Behaviours List. They interviewed lots of people, employees of companies, and they asked them basically what was the bad behaviour generally. And certainly the mobile and text messaging in mid-conversation or during an appointment or meeting, that did actually register as one of them. The top 4 out of interest, just so we're talking about that, are discrimination in an employment situation, erratic, aggressive driving that endangers others, and taking credit for someone else's work were a little bit higher.
Fair enough, too. How bad is it getting?
Well, it is getting really bad. I've certainly noticed it seems to be getting worse. People in meetings, one of the things that drives me mad is that you go to a meeting and you're trying to make a point and suddenly you realise that you've lost the person you're talking to because they've suddenly had a text message come in and they're busy checking that. Or they're even checking the internet on their mobiles if they get bored, or they're getting involved in texting conversations. On public transport the other day, I was absolutely appalled by a woman who got on a very busy train and she had to stand and she started loudly, and I mean really loudly, the whole carriage could hear, on her mobile. She rang a friend with very intimate details about her new relationship, shouting above the train noise, details that, look, none of us really want to know. And I noticed when I was looking at a Microsoft business site the other day on do's and don'ts for mobile phones, I thought the writer summed it up very well. She said, everywhere I go, from avenues to airports, from elevators to the bank, from conference rooms to restaurants, mobile addicts are blurting out steady streams of shocking and confidential revelations. Who needs to hear all the intimate and creepy things that we're now forced to overhear? And look, it is really getting bad. One of the most bizarre experiences I saw was that I had a coffee and was reading the paper outside a little outside cafe the other day, and 4 men came along and met up, and they didn't make any noise. They didn't make any conversation, except there was this constant beeping noise of their phones going off. So I glanced over, and the 4 of them were all engaged in text messaging. But the most bizarre thing was that they were obviously in the middle of texting all their friends. They were texting each other. So there was actually no conversation, except the conversation was around the text. So every now and then they would laugh and giggle at someone that one of the others had sent. I thought that was very bizarre.
Oh, you've never been next to a tweenie who will text her friend who's sitting next to her in the car or really anywhere and Facebook simultaneously. It's the way. But what about, loud music is another bugbear.
Well, it is. I mean, another trend is that people, of course, can download music onto their mobiles, and instead of using headphones, they seem to be broadcasting it to everyone. And look, the really disturbing thing, Lynn, is that it's actually going to get a lot worse. The next thing we're going to see is that airlines are starting to install new technology which, passengers will be able to make calls on their own smartphones without interfering with the plane navigation devices. Now, for years when you get on, you're told to turn off your phones, although some airlines have been able to make some their own phones available for various calls. But now the technology has actually advanced where the safety people are convinced that it's not going to interfere, except when they're landing and departing. So you're going to be sitting next to someone. I mean, it's bad enough in movies. Movies also, I don't know about you, but they really drive me mad, because the trouble is, right in the middle of a movie, you actually get distracted by a light, as if someone's shining a torch, but it's actually someone down the aisle, down the row, that's actually opened up their mobile phone, and immediately there's that light on the mobile phone, and they're busy texting.
Very frustrating. When I was talking to the chap from the funeral home, he said, well, there is technology that some homes have brought in to block calls, and I'm starting to think that's a very good idea, and I may bring one to my house.
Yes.
Because to be proactive, this seems to be the only way you can ask people, but it's just often not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, and transport is going to become a big issue. Airlines really should take a leaf out of some of the other transportation companies around the world that are really starting to address it. There was a wonderful case for the American rail company Amtrak. There was an onboard protest one day. There was a long-distance train between Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. and a group simply had enough, and they created a bit of a sit-in and demanded peace and quiet on the rails, and they started campaigning. And within a year, Amtrak have introduced the concept of having designated quiet carriages as a choice when you get on board. So if you get on board, there's actually at least one carriage that's called the quiet car service, and it's intended to provide what it calls a peaceful, quiet atmosphere, those who just want to work or rest without distraction. And the rules are quite stern there. I mean, you can't use any devices which make noise. You can't use your phones. You can't use pages. You can't have handheld games without headphones. You can use a laptop computer, but only if there's absolutely no noise. So you have to turn off all the audio so there's absolutely no one can hear it. And you certainly can't hear portable CD or DVD players without headphones. But even if you use headphones, you have to keep the volume loud enough, and if anyone complains, they actually have guards that are come down and say, look, I'm sorry, you'll have to relocate to another car. Even overhead lighting, may be dimmed, and the luggage bins that people open, you can't get up and open those between stops. So if you like peace and quiet during a long trip, it's heaven.
It sounds like bliss to me. I really like the sound of that. What's happening in New Zealand? It's not something that's been brought in yet, or is it?
No, I don't know of anyone that's actually tried it here. The transfer might be another campaign that someone could set up, but there's certainly signs up saying, don't engage in loud music. But there's certainly no ban on MP3 players, and there really shouldn't be. I mean, people should be able to use their MP3 players or use their laptops. That's one way of encouraging people to use public transport. But certainly, you need to be mindful of other players, other passengers. And one thing that does surprise me is how loud some of those music players are. I mean, you can hear sometimes people's music player from way down the other end of the bus or train.
And it's never your taste in music. Hey, look, we've just received an email from Bob who says, I attended a funeral service this week, and before the service started, the minister asked everyone to turn their cell phones off. And, he said, if they did not know how to do that, there was a glass of water here that would do it for them. Really like that. It's a brilliant idea.
That is a great idea.
Let's go back to the survey because, we all have anecdotal information, but it's kind of interesting to know, what the surveys are indicating.
Well, one of the things is how many texts you mentioned about young people texting. We know they text a lot more than many of us. Three quarters of the adults with phones do text. The average user sends about 10 texts a day, but not surprisingly, 18 to 24-year-olds have an average of 200 a day.
And half of them will be K or SUP.
That's right. You've got it. Schools, of course, that's an issue for schools too, isn't it, Lynn? Because there's an interesting situation going on at one of the schools in the US this week, which has also raised a few eyebrows. It's a school in Woodstock called Hyde School in Connecticut. Now, they've announced last week that they're going to launch an experiment to encourage face-to-face communication and connectedness. And that's contrary to what I was talking about, these group of people that were sitting down at a cafe not talking to each other. The school is introducing something called No Tech Tuesdays. And what it effectively is, it's a once-a-week ban on the use of technology by not just students, but actually staff as well. And I put the link of the announcement from the principal on the website. And she explains that she and her colleagues who do teach teenagers, high school age, 14 to 19, she says that she sees firsthand how technology has paradoxically resulted in isolation for many young people, often turning them away from meaningful relationships with their families, friends and peers. So that while, some schools ban the use of cell phones and text messaging, including this school, she thinks that maybe there just needs to be a real debate about it. And she's arguing that those who think the battle to control it should be fought out only by setting limits – probably swimming against the tide. And she says it's important to try and understand both the positive and negative stuff. But she says, and I quote, "Our relationship with technology is related to our character, principles, and the choices we make. We all find ways to bend the rules, but if we understand how things are directly impacting our lives, negatively and positively, we're more likely to do the things that bring us out on top." So be very interesting. I'll check back in a month's time and see how the No Tech Tuesdays are going.
Yeah, do. I think that's a fantastic idea. Right, now you're going to come, radio tags, I think you've been talking to Catherine about.
Last week I did talk about talking to schools, a Californian school that's actually tagging young pupils with tracking devices. Got lots of emails about this, people asking more about the tags, because I did mention that this again is something to keep an eye on, because we'll be following more of that. I'll just remind you, the tags we're talking about, they're called RFID, which, you know, none of us know what that means, but it's actually radio frequency. They're just little intelligent barcodes that can really track products. In the early days, I mentioned that they used to track cattle, but now they're tracking consumer products worldwide, and it means that people, manufacturers, can tell when it's pulled off the shelf where it's actually going. But the big picture is that shopping, is retail industry, is starting to get very interested in this. One of the big picture retail hopes is that the tags will see the end of checkout lines. Now, already you may have noticed in some of the main centres that some of the supermarkets have been experimenting with self-checkouts.
Oh, yeah, been there, tried that.
Any good?
I'm probably not the right person to ask. I like human contact, what can I say? But they do work, and a lot of people like them.
They do. Well, you know, we're doing that now in some cases. But the idea is that what you'll do is you'll get your smart little shopping cart, you'll put all the products in, and you'll just simply wheel it out the shop. What will happen is that there'll be tags in these products, and they'll hook up with the store's electronic reader system, the computer system that reads those tags, and they'll work out how much at the end of the day is how much you owe. The information will then be automatically sent to your bank as you leave the store, and hey presto, the money is deducted. Now, it's interesting because I mentioned this to quite a few people who immediately said, this is terrible. You know, what happens if they charge me for products? I don't believe in this. But then I was thinking the other day, you know, we went through this debate, or some of us did, many, many years ago when they started things like automatic teller machines, where people said this will never work because people actually will be worried that they'll go and get money out of it and never appear when they press the buttons on the ATM, or else, you know, a whole lot of money will get taken out. And also, of course, we use FPOS and Visa. In fact, New Zealand's one of the highest users of FPOS. So I can see this actually happening. The other thing that's interesting is that mobile phone makers, we're talking about these smartphones, they're now starting to get very excited about the possibility of actually putting chips in the phone, so that when you go to a checkout, and this is, there's already experimentation in places like Japan for this. It's got a little chip that is actually stored like your Visa credit card details and how much money you've got. So all you have to do when they say, thank you, Lynn, that'll be $24.95, you just wave your phone over the scanner and it automatically takes all the money out of your bank account. Could be quite worrying for people who don't manage their money well, couldn't it? It's a bit too easy.
Well, and someone nicked your phone and quickly got to the supermarket. It's a little bit of a worry if there aren't some kind of limits put on it.
That's true.
But in terms of convenience, we are an instant society and no one really wants to queue.
No, that's right. And one of the, I mean, there's all sorts of interesting things going on. One of the stores in a big US ice cream chain, I notice, produces over 100 flavours, but only 32 each day. And people get very upset because they go in and they find that the flavour's not the one of the day. So there are little chips in there now that actually automatically send you a message to your mobile phone, which will actually tell you when your favourite one is. But
see, I'd be signing up for that, Nigel. That's the most exciting thing you've told me.
I get excited about the 100 flavours. Actually, I'll put a link on the website with the 100 flavours of today,
so
you'd be able to go and check, but I don't know that you'd be able to get it sent to you. One environmental blogger I read, and again I put this link up, he's actually quite worried about, you know, the implications of all this. He says that we used to chip animal, you know, we chip animals and pets now, and he's just wondering how far this will go. He says he's worried where the concept could be extended, so that if you have a little chip in your hand, you know, instead of your mobile phone, then he says you could say, visit a busy nightclub, and rather than shout at the barman or fish around in your wallet when you're buying a drink, just pass your hand across the register, and you know, with the chip, and it automatically it'll take the money out. So goodness knows where we're all going with this.
I've watched too many sci-fi films. I have visions of people's hands being cut off and the chips. So I don't like the sound of that too much.
No, you put me right off now.
Oh, dear. Right, social networks always and increasingly and now seemingly always in the news.
Always in the news,
but
yes.
Not everyone knows how to set them up well.
No, well, the interesting thing is I talked some weeks ago about how Google had really failed on the social media. We know that social networks like Facebook and Twitter are huge. Google had tried a couple of things and just unfortunately they could buzz and wave. They didn't seem to get it right. The big companies seem to be really struggling with this, and Apple the other day has introduced a thing which sounded really good from someone like myself who loves music. It was a music social network that was tied to iTunes. It was called Ping. It sounded a lot of fun. You're able to swap musical tastes with, you know, friends and fellow performers. You could even sign up for them. Well, within hours, it was really very badly dismissed from everyone, from the Guardian's music critic right through to local bloggers. And the press and the feedback continues to be quite vicious, really. They really blew it on a number of things. They didn't make the social network very open. Apple is very much into a sort of control thing. And, of course, openness is what social networking is all about. So they didn't get that part. They didn't get the part. They wanted to tie it in with Facebook, but Facebook sees itself as a bit of a rival to Apple. So Facebook closed all that down, so that didn't happen. And then they did something really foolish, which is quite surprising for Apple. The thing started attracting spam because there's actually no spam filtering. You could send messages, but in your account, you'd suddenly get drowning in spam and emails, even about scams. In fact, some people said half the people's comments on some of the pages were spam and scams and so forth. The other bizarre thing is that you can only state you're interested in three types of music, which are very defined. And some of us with fairly wide, broad taste found that that was a bit of a struggle. Almost universal criticism. And the part I like was the Guardian music critic. I thought he summed it up really well. He said it's static, detached, and outdated. Perhaps we'll revisit it when it grows up. A poor effort, Apple. And it was.
Okay, Nigel Horrocks, thank you very much. Fascinating and disturbing all at the same time with some of those things that might be in our futures.